Say, we're going to take a look at 2 Peter, chapter 1, verses 1 through 11 again. Last week, we got a certain way in that text, 2 Peter, chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. We had several of you talk about kind of the catalog of virtues that are listed there, and we'll probably take a more in-depth look at those together as well. Between last week and this week, has there been anything that's come to your mind as we looked at this text? Now, perhaps as we read it, we will it'll provide a jog in memory. The idea here is that God provides all that we need to live the godly life, to not only do that, but to resist temptation and to be able to participate in God's plans. So let's read together from God's word. Would you join me? Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you might participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he's nearsighted and blind, and has forgotten that he's been cleansed from his past sins. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, add his blessing to our hearing of his word. Is there anything that time through stood out to you or created a thought or a question?
It was really cool to...
What particular verse was it that was so helpful to you?
We're in process.
Yeah. That is hopeful, especially if you feel you're not quite getting it. Been there? Not quite getting it? It's hopeful because... we are in process. Yeah, we're on the path. Thank you for that example. And thank you for risking that, because that helps us all see these passages apply in very concrete ways to us. We can live these out in very concrete ways. Any other thoughts? Yes? So to treat self as well as you would somebody else who's trying to make progress here. It's been given. So there is, it's process and it's relationship, isn't it? Process and relationship. It was interesting that you said, I noticed I've been praying more as part of that, you know, to pray for that power that is available to us, to lead us in this new life, to pray that God would help in those areas. This is just exactly where God wants to be engaged in our lives in very practical ways. Begins with faith, ends with love. Here you look at what Paul, his list in chapter 13 of Corinthians, where he talks about The greatest of these is love, that we can be growing in that. Was there anyone else? Yes. So there is something that we do while we're in process. There's some wonderful words that kind of use that idea to add to your faith. We'll take a look at that here in just a moment. We are works in progress, and we are centered in Christ. First, servants forgiven in Christ, servants of Christ like Peter, and gifted in Christ. The next part, we are works in progress because of what Christ has done for us. It's Christ who's done it, done everything. He creates this standing that we enjoy in Christ together. The standing is based on what he does. It's centered in our trust in Jesus, and it is prompting our best wishes for others. What we want for each other is this multiplied grace and goodness. He says, grace and peace be yours in abundance, or may it be multiplied through the knowledge of God and of Jesus, our Lord. The idea isn't just that it's added, it's that it's multiplied. I like that term, to pray that grace and peace in each other's life would be multiplied, that our experience of Christ would be rich and full as we give ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ and his leadership in our lives. So it is that. And then let's take a look at this next part, that some of our wishes are grace and peace, and then how those best wishes become a part of the abundant life. It's through our knowledge of Jesus Christ in our Lord. If you want to follow along with the outline here, you also have a copy in your bulletin, and you can make some notes on that as well. So this is just a review. We are works in progress provided for by Christ. So we're dependent upon Christ's power. We are supplied with all we need, and we partner with Christ in this life. And that partnering is done through a growing experiential and intimate relationship with Christ. It is understanding his call on our lives, that we're called to this growth or this process, and that we're partnering with someone who is so worthy of our devotion. Think about it. We're partnering with someone whose presence and whose very being is described by the word glory. And his character is good through and through. In the next part, let's take a look at that. We're dependent upon Christ's power for what we do. We're supplied with all we need and promised great help in him. Promised great help, it is help grounded in inexhaustible resources, his great and precious promises. It's help that's purposed for our transformation and helps focus us away from and saves us from peril. It's a reflective approach to life. It says, for this very reason, add this to this and this and to this. And that idea of for this very reason means that it looks back to something. What do you think it looks back to in our text? You see, for this very reason, what's the reason? Christ's death on this cross? Yes. That his divine power is available to you and me for this very reason. It's available to you and me for this life that we have, that we can live. And we have these great and precious promises as well that are available. It's also a determination to be fruitful. Growth, as you've talked about, doesn't, as you mentioned, Bonnie, doesn't just happen without a determination to give ourselves to these virtues. We're to make every effort, make every effort. You could say it this way, seize every opportunity to grow in the ones, the virtues that are below. Some translations use the term, give all diligence to your efforts. And it says, we are to add to our faith the following. It's a very interesting word picture that is used here. Literally in Greek, it gives this phrase, lead up hand in hand. Lead up hand in hand. And most commentators think that the picture is from the old Greek chorus, where the chorus would come out in the Greek theater and they would sing the music that was requested. And they would do this hand in hand. So there's the chorus, and we're supposed to add to it the following things. So these things go hand in hand, you might say. There's a picture in that as well. The word also came to be used of these sponsors for Greek theater who would pay for the chorus to be able to come in and sing. So when they came in hand, there was usually a sponsor in the audience who paid for all of that. So it's a picture of abundance as well. So when we add to it, we are saying, be diligent about, be lavish in the way that you apply yourself to these things. It does have the sense of effort, but it's less than just effort, gutting it out. It's like letting your being be full of desire to grow in these things. Lavish your energy and will and person in this effort to add to these things. Now, in the little handout that you have in your bulletin, you'll see faith, goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance. There are definitions used there. We heard, Debbie, that was an interesting sequence that you followed as you were looking at one area of your life and you saw how these virtues were linked together. Just for fun, maybe we could explore that a little bit. Faith, which the idea is building from an ongoing trust in God's good news in Christ. How would goodness follow faith? Can you see a way that goodness would follow faith? So faith could be that foundational ground zero sort of base from which we are able to grow. Okay? New life. So this new life in me is meant to break out into other areas of life, and that's part of our list. Okay? How about knowledge? How would knowledge, which seeks practical wisdom and discernment that's needed for this good life, follow after goodness? It's experiential. Okay, was there one over here? All right, how about the next one in the list? Adding, how would self-control follow knowledge? Yes. Yes, the human condition. Perseverance following self-control. Potholes all the time. Okay. You almost have to have self-control to persevere in that sense. Okay, what about, would godliness follow perseverance? You think that kind of links into something that you talked about, Tony, in the Romans passage? Mm-hmm. Certainly. Certainly it does. Brotherly kindness, how would that follow godliness? The cup spilling over, what an image. God's good work bubbling over in us to others. Yeah, sure. And love, the kind of love that acts, flowing out of brotherly kindness as well. It says, for if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive. And we looked at that last week. It was kind of like they're stating the negative, but pointing us to the positive. If you do these things, you will be effective and productive in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, in that case, these are what we call things essential to the normal part of the Christian life. They are elements of our effectiveness and productivity, and also markers of our intimacy with Christ. These markers are kind of outlined in this idea that when they're present, they define and they communicate relational intimacy with Christ. Again, this passage is so practical. He not only says spiritual growth is a process, he says this is what spiritual growth looks like. It looks like the things that are in this list. So here's where we go to work, you might say. These are things that are Christ-like characters. These are virtues that are important to pursue in our life with Christ. And when they are absent, they indicate a disconnect with what true knowledge and intimacy with God intends to produce, and also a disconnect from where forgiveness leads. It should lead us into a deeper fellowship with Christ around those important things. Now, there's our list, and we've looked at what Christ growth in Christ looks like, and when they are absent, they define this spiritual disconnect that we see in the words, but if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind and has forgotten that he's been cleansed by his past sins. I ran into an interesting picture looking at a movie. Does anyone recognize this person? Maz Kanta? It's an odd picture. It's of a lady in Star Wars. Okay, you knew. Okay, and she has, at one point in the movie, she has to climb clear up on a table to look at a person to see the person. She adjusts her glasses like this to be able to see. And so the passage is talking about that kind of nearsightedness that we can have if we don't attend to the areas of growth that we need to be growing in. We become so nearsighted that we don't see this grand thing that God is providing for us, that he's provisioning our lives for. We miss the point because of that kind of almost spiritual blindness. So that's what it, we've looked at what it grows. It can produce spiritual blindness. It can also cause us to forget that we've been cleansed from our sins. A rhetorical question. None of us have ever done that, have we? That we've forgotten that we've been forgiven of our sins. And there are times when the Lord reminds us of that. Oh, what's this? Say, oh, growth point. Yes. I acknowledge that for you, before you. Being in process and growing as a follower of Christ is a clear acknowledgement that our sins have been forgiven. It's, what would you say? It's an appropriate response to the grace and mercy of God to want to be a growing follower of Christ. And so it does involve growth in our lives and in Christ. there is a story about an unusual accountability partnership at a person's church. One friend, in an effort to break his habit of using profanity, which would relate to some of those things in our list, wouldn't it? This would be a specific area where he is wanting to grow, and there would be, what things do you think relate to profanity in the list that we just went through? Self-control is one. What's that? Goodness is another. Brotherly kindness, okay. What's that? A godliness, okay. Knowledge, a larger vocabulary. How fun. Well, this friend started, because he wanted to do this, his name was Paul, he wanted to meet with another guy in the church, and they set up a kind of a aggressive plan for holiness. Each Sunday, Paul would report to William how many times he cussed that week, and he would put in $5 in the offering plate for each incident. Whew! The first week, it cost Paul $100. And although the following weeks improved somewhat, he wasn't having the success that he wanted, and it was costing him a lot of cash. It was kind of interesting that after the fourth week, William told Paul that he had unilaterally changed the deal in the coming week, his friend, his accountability friend, but he wouldn't tell Paul how. So Paul wanted to know, but all William would say is, just trust me, it'll cost you less and more. Following Sunday after worship, Paul was looking a bit down and obviously had failed again. William put a hand on his shoulders and said, again, Paul, I told you this is going to be something that costs you less and more. At that point, he took a check out and made it to the church and dated it and signed it. But the amount was blank. He said, what you're doing, your sin still costs, but for you it's free. So you just fill in the blank, the numbers, and next week there will be more grace. The first week, the grace cost William $55. The second week, $20. There was no third week. It cost Paul too much to fill in the blanks. So he quit. This is something that I think remembering our sins have been forgiven does for us. It helps us take stock. We realize it was Jesus who did this for us. We realize that we can't go on trivializing that in light of the next thing that he's laying before us. It's a wonderful mercy of his that he provides such grace to us. God be praised for that. But it's important to remember this. Where this kind of growth is heading, it says, therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. He's calling us. He knows who will accept him freely. But there is kind of an interesting sense to this. It's used in the middle voice, which means that we're supposed to do this for ourselves. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to do this for yourself, to make your calling and election sure. And the idea isn't that we, by behavior, talk ourselves into faith. It's not like that. It's more something like this. As we engage our hearts and our souls and our minds and our bodies, not in self-righteous affirmation, we're not trying to talk ourselves into faith, Rather, we engage all of those things in a trusting, experiential walk with Jesus, where his divine power begins to make a difference in our lives. We let him and his divine power take hold inside of us. And we simply say yes and walk in the strength that he daily provides. And sometimes when we blow it, we walk in the mercy of God and the grace of God. But the intent for the follower of Christ is to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit as he leads us. If you do these things, it says, you will never fall. These things help us avoid spiritual peril, and they also draw us forward into the delights of Jesus' eternal kingdom. Would you take a look at that? You will receive a rich, or you could use the word abundant, welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. Some think this is the picture of the conquering king and the entourage coming into town after conquest. That's the picture. And the picture that Peter is giving you and me is that when you are welcomed into heaven, that each individual gets a parade, you might say. It's not that you barely make it. It's not that you just squeak in past the pearly gates. It's that you receive a rich welcome in heaven. That's what's in store for you and me as we give ourselves to this. Would you join me in a word of prayer as we close? Well, Father, we thank you for all that you've planned for each one of us. My, what you have designed. It is amazing. Thank you for your grace and mercy that calls us deeper into life with you. Forgive us those times when we do get so distracted by all that's in our days and lives that we fail to remember who we are, yours, and what we're about, becoming more like you. Forgive us for that, and this week we pray that your Holy Spirit of power would rest on each one of us to this end, that we may walk in this newness of life and live and love you deeply. Amen.